This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrandt on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 75radio.org, the number 75radio.org. We are red hot rolling this Saturday, March the 2nd, 2024. Walter, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
Doing pretty well. All's good down here. It was a nice warm day today. It was outside, cutting up some wood, getting ready to lay a floor down. All's good.
Outstanding. Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Doing great, brother. Great to be here. Very excited tonight.
Outstanding. Before we turn over to you, let's take care of some housekeeping things. First, we want to say hello to our special listeners, Little Billy Keebler and the men and alleged woman of the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department, also known as the Cellar Savers, stay safe, one and all. Also, shout out to my buddy Ed Huebner down here in Washington, D.C. He posted his new business card on Facebook and wanted it to go viral, so I wanted to help him out and put it on the radio. Anyways, all those in the market for a home, whether you're here in Washington, D.C. or Timbuktu or just getting out of the joint, please call my buddy Ed Huebner, H-U-E-B-N-E-R. His number is 703-963-1639. That's 703-963-1639. And to be honest, he is the best real estate agent you would ever want, because I had to deal with these knuckleheads when I was buying and selling homes, and they were some just absolute garbage. But you will not get that with Ed. He is he's a pro's pro when it comes to real estate. Anyways, first order of business, we want to remember the men and women of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight we remember Police Officer Cody Allen of the Independence, Missouri Police Department, end of watch, February 29th, 2024. He was serving a civil warrant, and he was shot and killed. The perpetrator is in custody. And without any further ado, we're going to turn it over to Mike Rakebrandt, who has a special guest on tonight for the full hour. Walter and I will chime in and ask any questions that we have on our mind. Mike, take it away, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. So tonight we have the very exceptional Shannon Stevens, who is the next congresswoman from New York's 2nd District. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. It's going to be awesome. So Shannon was my campaign attorney last campaign, and she is absolutely brilliant, extremely motivated, probably one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life, definitely one of the smartest people I've ever met, and just phenomenal candidate. So if you're in New York 2nd District, get out, get on her website, and give her a hand. You can get her at stevensforcongress.com. So, Shannon, I got a few questions for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Fire away.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a chance to kind of give your own bio real quick first, and then we'll go from there.
No. Sounds great. No. Hi, everyone. Thank you all for listening. My name is Shannon Stevens. I am running for Congress in Congressional District 2 here in New York. I'm primarying Andrew Garbarino. By way of background, I am a former prosecutor. I was a teacher for about a year. I was also an accountant for a brief period of time, so I'm taking a lot of different areas of expertise that I've come across in my own life experiences and trying to put them to use in Congress so that we can better the country and turn it back from where it's at this point. My slogan is Taking Back America, because that's what I believe we need to do at this point. I'm a New York native. I've been here all my life. I know a lot of people are fleeing New York. At this point in time, my perspective from this situation is we can't keep running. We have to stand and fight at some point. And that's what I intend to do with this race.
Perfect. Awesome. That's perfectly put. All right, Sean, so I'll give you the standard question first. Why New York 2, and what do you plan to do differently?
So I'm going to break that down, actually, into first, why specifically District 2? So why District 2? The easy part of that is I live in District 2. So this is my community. This is my home. Currently, Andrew Garbarino is my congressman, and I have a problem with his voting record. Because he's not representing me and the other constituents in our district the way we're looking for his representation. So at this point in time, Garbarino has been in office for about 2 terms. He's finishing up his 2nd term. And most of the constituents that I've spoken to in this district are disheartened and upset with the way he's been voting down in Washington, D.C. He is also leading the New York representatives that we have because we are seeing a lot of our new New York representatives following his lead down in Washington, D.C., and they're not going in the right direction. Overall, I don't believe District 2 stands with Andrew Garbarino at this point. I think most of our constituents and voters here on Long Island are fed up with what's going on in Washington. They're angry about his voting record and his lack of care and regard for his constituents. So that's why I'm running in New York 2 specifically. In reference to why Congress and not a different role in the federal or even state government, I believe that the bottom-up approach is not working for our country at this point. A lot of people take the approach of starting smaller in a civic organization within your state assembly or your state representation and working on up from there. I think we're seeing a lot of burnout happen halfway up the ladder, and we're not really getting the right people into the right places to really move the country forward. And while Congress is a federal position that seems a bit far from home, what congressmen do affect us on a very local level, and they actually impact our daily lives greatly. So many state and local issues are actually tied to federal funding and federal legislation that ends up putting the backs of our local officials against the wall. And that's not to give the local officials a free pass, because there are some of them who are not doing their jobs either up in Albany, that are allowing Governor Hochul to continue her foray into fascism without any sort of fight back. So that's something to be addressed as well. But we need to change things on a federal level so that we can provide paths to changing things on a state level as well. And a lot of what happens on a federal level trickles down into a great reality for our everyday lives, you know, here at home. And overall, with regard to Congress, I personally believe that it's time for Garbarino to take his exit. I'm sick of seeing bad politicians as my only option on our ballot, people whom I did not choose in a primary, whom I do not believe represent me, and whom I'm not looking to vote for at this point. Then we vote for them because they're the only option there. And then we watch them go down to D.C. and sell us out in backdoor deals, making millions on the backs of Americans. And I don't believe that's the way Congress should run. I don't believe that's the way our founding fathers set up our government. And I would like to change that. So that's why I'm running for Congress instead of a smaller sort of position or a state level position. As to what I will do differently, honestly, the job, actually doing the job. Not doing the bidding of the opposite party for whom I'm running. So Andrew Garbarino is running on the Republican ticket, but he is voting more left than most Democrats we see in Congress. In terms of what I will do differently, I will not hold citizens as political hostages, which we currently have going on down in Washington, D.C. I know everyone is aware that the J6ers are still in prison. They're still being put in prison every single day. They're being rounded up by our FBI. And Andrew Garbarino has voted for the January 6th commission, and he is not looking to help those guys. I will not make backdoor deals that the American public doesn't know about. That is most of our politicians in office right now. We have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. They are not transparent. We don't know the sort of deals they're making. We don't agree with them. And we're finding out, you know, some of the bad effects of these deals way after the fact. I will not vote on bills that I don't know what they contain. We've seen that over and over again. These massive omnibus bills that our congressmen cannot possibly read before they come to a vote on the House floor, yet they're voting anyway, and they don't know what's in those bills. They don't know how they will affect Americans and their constituents at home, and they're continuing to vote regardless. I will 100% involve the constituency in my actions down in Congress, because I think what we are seeing now is a lot of elected officials that have forgotten that they work for us as the people. Right. We have a lot of people down in Congress, down in our Senate, you know, even here at home in local and state offices that have forgotten that we, the people, elected them to do a job, and they sort of answer to us. Right. This is not, you know, we give them a free pass to do whatever they see fit with the office. They answer to we, the people who elected them. So that comes with involving your constituency in the decisions you're making and the votes that are coming across your table. Working for the people means putting your decisions in line with what they're asking. And time and again, we have not seen that occur from our congressmen. The other thing that we're not seeing from our congressmen is being present in the community. That's something I would really like to change in Congress, is actually coming in when I come back from D.C. and sitting down with my constituency, finding out what they think about bills that are coming across the table, finding out, you know, what their opinions are on issues in the country and what they would like to see done.
All right, folks, we're coming. Shannon, we're coming on our first commercial break. When we come back, I will still continue this interview with Mike Raybrand and Shannon Stevens. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Free Water Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stan, Walter Yerke, Mike Raybrand, and our special guest, candidate for New York 2nd District, Shannon Stevens. Mike, take it away, sir.
Thank you very much, Pete. Shannon, I have another question for you. And this one kind of goes to the heart of what you were talking about with J6 and everything else going on. As an attorney, how do regular people fight the lawfare? How do we fight back? What does it actually mean?
So that is a loaded question, right? Because that's something that more or less I get in different ways from a lot of people that I've been speaking to. And the way people more often couch it or ask it is, you know, but aren't the things that are going on right now unconstitutional and or illegal? And the short answer to those questions is yes. And then the next question becomes the question you just asked. So what do we do about that? Right. And the problem is when you have a government that's not working within the documents that it should be running by, it's not following law and order, it becomes a lawless nation. A lot of people have referred to it as a banana republic, if you will. And we're seeing a lot of that, right? We're seeing a lot of political persecution. We're seeing a lot of unfair trials and convictions going on, depending on what fits the narrative of the day and who's in charge in different states and different court systems. And it becomes a very difficult war for regular citizens to fight. We're not experts in everything. And once upon a time, we didn't have to be experts in everything in order to live our daily lives. With regard to the lawfare specifically and regular citizens finding themselves, you know, in the hot seat, just like we've seen J6ers in the recent past, I would say the best advice I could probably give would be know your constitutional rights. Know your rights as an American citizen, right? Know the law. And, you know, and I don't mean that from a legal perspective of go to law school and, you know, spend your time becoming a lawyer. And not everybody is supposed to be a lawyer. But know your basic rights, because they're being taken away from people without them realizing, and stand your ground. We're seeing a lot of people giving up their rights and agreeing to situations that are illegal and unconstitutional out of fear. And we can't have a country where we are being ruled by fear, because that is not a free nation. That is not the America I grew up in. So it has to be changed. The system has to be changed. A lot of things have to be, you know, repealed, abolished, removed. And there, I have a lot of ideas on where to go with that. And that's going to be up to a lot of the newly elected officials with this election is, you know, how do we make sure the system isn't a system of lawfare, that we are not merging into a police state? And that's going to be on the people that take office in 2024. But as a regular citizen, know your constitutional rights and stand your ground. Hold your head up high and don't give in to things that you know are illegal, wrong, and unconstitutional. And you know, you will find favor in standing in numbers when you stand up together.
Awesome. Thank you. Walton, Pete, what do you guys think? Any questions?
Well, do you have anything? I'll let you go first, sir. Age before beauty.
What? Well, yeah, I am aged and beautiful. Thank you. hi, Shannon. Hi, Shannon. I'm Walter. As you know, I grew up in Long Island in Brooklyn, and I spent, four or five years in Suffolk County and West Islip when I was married the first time. And even back then, and I'm talking about the early to mid 80s, even back then, Congress representatives in from Suffolk County weren't doing a whole lot. And that's going, you know, before your time. And when I left New York City and left New York, and now I live down here in Southern Tennessee, and I've watched it. I've become familiar with the laws, you know, the basic stuff, you know, like you were talking about, stand your ground. And it's really, really, really hard to stand your ground, although I do, when you are being screwed over right to your face. You know, I'm an ex-New York City cop like Scoop, and I never deliberately screwed somebody over. I feel that our country has gotten, how can I say, I can't say uneducated. We're not as educated as we were, and we're not, certainly not as educated now with basic laws and rights as we should be, because the past 25-6 years or so, we've been, I don't want to use the word oppressed because that's such a political word. We've been suffocated to the point where they raise our taxes and we can't say a damn thing about it. And it's like, you know, here you go, here you go, here you go. Now we got all these million-dollar politicians. We have career politicians. We have politicians who stick their hand in the cookie jar. I mean, blatantly so. And lately, of course, everybody knows. And it needs to come to a halt, because government is governed by the Constitution also. They don't dictate to the public what we do. The Constitution dictates what we as a public can do. We're not going to start picking up rifles and firearms and start having a revolution like in the 1700s. That's not going to happen. It's virtually impossible. What I see coming down the line is a possible civil war, you know, without the bombs and the gunfire. It's going to be a civil war on who's smarter, who's better, who's stronger, who's tougher, who knows the most people. Congress is going to have to step in at some point, and we're waiting for that point. I mean, we probably would be at that point had Mr. Trump not had that election stolen from him a few years ago. At this point, going into 2024, we should have another Republican going into office besides Mr. Trump, because, you know, his 8 years would have been up. because I don't see it getting our nation getting healed in the 4 years of Mr. Trump coming in 25 to 29. I don't see it because he only started it in 16, 17, 18, and 19. It's a long, long haul. We need younger people in Congress. We need smarter people in Congress. And our nation needs to get educated and stop believing every damn thing they see on social media.
I don't disagree with you. I think we just hit the tip of the iceberg with Donald Trump's original win in 2016. I think he sort of cracked open the swamp and really let people see in for the first time what was going on, you know, in our nation's government. And that was a great thing because it's moved us forward. I think you're right. I don't think this is going to be fixed or cleaned up in the 4 years that Donald Trump takes office. It's going to take time because this didn't happen overnight. This was a slow march toward where we are without us realizing. I think this is a very complicated mess to sort out and clean up. And it can't be the job of one man, and it cannot be done in 4 years. And I think therein lies the importance of who becomes the next elected officials, which is why I think we're seeing so many people waiting on who Donald Trump's VP pick is, because I think a lot of people are waiting to see, you know, how he is setting up an administration that can take over for him 4 years later. I think Congress and other positions that are going down to Washington are just as important as that, because they're the ones that are going to continue to move the country forward past 4 years of, you know, another Donald Trump presidency. And it is a messy thing to clean up. And you're right, we do need a younger Congress. We need more active voters and participants in government. Frankly, we've gotten lazy as a country. We've been complacent. People don't vote. They don't care. You knock on doors, they tell you, I'm not interested in politics. I'm not into politics, like as if it's a hobby. We need to get back to the way our founding fathers looked at politics. It's not a hobby. It's the ability to live your life. And it's the decisions that you make and the way that you elect people and the people that you do elect that end up having that impact on the way you live your life. You're right. We're not going to end up picking up guns. It's not going to be a civil war like it was in the 1860s. But I think there is something to be learned from the way the government was set up originally. Not picking up a gun doesn't mean we can't pay attention to what the founding fathers were doing, because back then, they weren't sitting in fancy congressional halls and meetings and hearings on a floor with gavels and everything else to make decisions. They were sitting in small restaurants in people's living rooms by candlelight, having real discussions and discourse about what's going on in the country. They were reading and taking initiative to understand what was going on in the world around them and how they were going to set up a government and a country that would transcend thousands of years. And that was their goal back then, and it should be our goal today. And I think you're right that we have stopped paying attention to learning as a country. And some of that, I personally believe, is technology related. And a lot of it has to do with our schools and the education system. We're not taking an active role in what students are learning. We are also being fought by the government, and they're removing the right of parents to educate their children the way they should be educated and the way that parents choose to educate their children. And we're starting to see, I think, a grassroots movement back to a real active role in children's education with homeschooling co-ops. And people are paying very close attention to what their children are learning for the first time in a long time, I think, to the point where we are now taking an active role in ensuring that children are reading the Constitution, that they do know our nation's history, things that we haven't paid attention to in a while. And I think we've seen a couple of generations come up through the schools, you know, that don't know a lot of this stuff, who have never opened the Constitution, that don't know how to write a check, you know, or keep a checkbook, that cannot balance their budget, you know, for a home and have those sorts of skills that we had once upon a time been teaching. And I think education is the key to getting our nation back, because it all comes down to the critical information that we do or don't have in order to fix what's wrong and move forward.
Amen. Wow. I mean, the way we'll come back after this and talk about the school system and learning.
All right, coming up beyond this commercial break, it's going to be yours truly, Walt, Mike Rick Brandt, and our special guest, Shannon Stevens, running for New York's 2nd District. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 75 Radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. Amid escalating humanitarian concerns in Gaza, the U.S. is set to initiate airdrops of aid into the region. John Kirby, spokesperson for the National Security Council, confirmed that the airdrops will start in the coming days. Additionally, efforts are being made to establish a maritime corridor for delivering aid by sea. The situation in Gaza reaching a critical point, with Israeli military operations against Hamas exacerbating the humanitarian crisis. The CDC has updated its COVID guidelines. USA's John Schaefer explains.
The Centers for Disease Control says Americans with COVID no longer need to isolate for 5 days. Released on Friday, the new guidance covers COVID and other respiratory infections. According to the updated guidelines, individuals with COVID can resume normal daily activities if they've been fever-free for 24 hours without medication or if their symptoms have been improving. Additionally, the CDC advises those ending isolation to wear masks and minimize close contact with others.
Closing arguments have concluded in the Georgia hearing regarding whether Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis should be removed from Donald Trump's election interference case due to her relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. The key points in question are the timing of their relationship's onset relative to Wade's appointment and whether Willis benefited financially from that appointment. Willis and Wade assert equal sharing of travel expenses, and that their relationship began after Wade's appointment. The judge anticipates delivering a decision within the next 2 weeks. This is USA News.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-804-7211. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-804-7211. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-804-7211 to donate your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
We'll be right back.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton, Walter Yerkew, Mike Rakebrand, and our guest, Shannon Stevens. Walt, you're just absolutely killing it with questions. Do you have any more questions for our guest?
Just, you know, the current school system. You see, you know, like I said, I went to school in Long Island and Brooklyn, and, you know, my son grew up down here in Tennessee, and he went through the school system down here in Tennessee. And it's just awful down here. And I'm guessing that it's just as bad as New York could be. My son did not learn how to write in script. Well, we called it script. Down here, they call it cursive. And I can curse with the best of them. But he couldn't write in script until I taught him how to write in script. You know, they're not teaching our kids, as they grow, basic needs to be some type of a fundamental young adult when they reach high school. And, you know, they had the, I remember they had the home economics and when I was a kid, and all the good carpenter shops and printing. They taught you vocational skills, and you had physical education twice a week, all year round, you know, also through the whole school year. Over here, they have gym, I think, they have the physical education, I think it's 6 weeks, 12 weeks, I'm sorry, 12 weeks down here. You know, the kids are fat if their parents don't feed them well, because the parents didn't learn how to do basic fundamental adult skills in school. And the obesity is disgusting. I remember what Michael Obama tried to do something with carrots and stuff at school. Well, that, you know, that wasn't going to work. It starts at home. And people need to be made aware that our school system is not teaching our kids what they need to know to get through in this world.
I agree with you.
How do you feel about that?
I think education is a multifaceted issue. So you mentioned, you know, one section of that is it starts at home. And that's part of the problem. We've seen an attack on the nuclear family. We've seen an attack on a religious-based family upbringing in our country. And all of this is by design, right? This is, you know, a multifaceted way of approaching indoctrination. Because overall, if you're indoctrinated and you're easily controlled, you're easily manipulated. So they're creating generations of people who are not critical thinkers. And we're seeing, you know, we're seeing a lot more of this now because I think a lot of this became very clear with COVID. I think for the very first time, you know, COVID allowed a bird's eye look into the classroom that parents did not have for a while. I think to some degree, what they did with COVID actually backfired on them a little bit because when they put students at home, when they locked down schools, they gave parents a real-time view into what their children were learning, the way the classroom setting was functioning, the type of material that they were covering in class. And for the first time in a long time, parents were like, wait a minute, what is my child learning in this class? And why are they discussing this inappropriate topic? Right. And parents started paying closer attention after that. And then we started to wake up as a country and see just how off track the education system has gotten. But it's been a multifaceted attack. It comes from, you know, breaking down the nuclear family, moving away from religious-focused family values at home. So they're not, we're not seeing families that are supporting children. We're not seeing families that are, you know, that have a present mother and a father where someone is checking to make sure that they're eating the right way, finishing their homework, you know, going to church on Sundays, reading the Bible. We're not seeing any of that at home, right? We're seeing a lot of kids on social media at ages that they shouldn't be. We're seeing a lot of indoctrination through television shows where parents are kind of absent and they're not checking what their children are watching, what they're reading online. We're also seeing generations that have unfettered access to technology that they probably shouldn't have at certain ages. So that starts at home. And then you get to the school portion of this. And, you know, the Democratic left took hold of our education system without the right realizing it. And we've allowed them to seize complete control of the education system. from preschool all the way on up. We're looking right now at most of our colleges where we're starting to have students who are afraid for their lives as Jewish students. We're seeing anti-Semitism all over again on college campuses, where here in New York, we actually had groups of students locking themselves in libraries in fear of their life because of what other college students were doing on campus. We're seeing constant assaults and fights and protests and different things like that on college campuses, a lot of civil unrest. And a lot of that is from what's being taught. You're correct. We've moved away from the basics of home economics, arithmetic, balancing a checkbook, and we're moving towards things like gender studies and DEI and diversity and all these buzzwords that we're seeing students grow up using. And this is not an accidental thing, because now we're growing generations of voters who are not critical thinkers, who have been indoctrinated with a lot of this garbage for years and years at this point, and you can't undo it. And I think we saw a lot of that with COVID, where, you know, no one's questioning why when we're walking into a restaurant, we have to have a mask on because COVID might get us standing up. But as soon as we sit down in a chair, we have to take off the mask and it can't get us sitting down. You know, we started to see a lot, and that's just one example of a severe lack of critical thinking going on in a multitude of generations in this country. And that comes from not developing critical thinking processes in school. And so we're seeing this by design, because these people become easy to control. Right now, you feed them a narrative on television, on mainstream media, on social media, and they believe it without question. And that's what our government wants.
I'd like to touch on just two things, and then I want to give it to Scoop, because I know he's just itching to talk. It's hard to shut him up sometimes. I'm surprised he's still so quiet. Two things. When, you know, the services that us taxpayers pay for, police, education, judicial system, Department of Traffic, and so, you know, Highway Department, you know, local stuff, you know, they are exposed, and it started with Mr. Trump. These entities are exposed to us now. We see their dirt. Okay, the dirt just didn't start happening. It's been going on for a long time, but now they're exposed. But when you call them out on it, you're the bad guy. Okay, you're the bad guy. Why? Because I'm standing in front of 20 people at the Board of Education. Okay, hypothetically, I'm standing in 20 people at the in front of the Board of Education to talk about a certain issue that happened at school regarding my son. And they're not listening to me. They're not. And when you call them out that they're not listening to you, they want you escorted out of the building, or they won't let you come and talk again. They want to know exactly what you're going to talk about the next time. You know, it's a lot of nonsense. You should be able to walk up to a civil servant and ask that person a question without him or her having to have a preparation or research before he speaks.
I agree.
He or she
Absolutely.
Speaks to you.
Okay.
The other thing, I want to bring up is I have lunch with my son every Thursday. He comes by the house. He works in the area sometimes, and he comes by my house, and we have lunch every Thursday. And we go to the gym 2-3 nights a week together. Okay. And the other day was leap year. Okay. Just out of my curiosity. Now he's 24. I asked him, I said, do you know what leap year is? And he kind of looked at me like a deer in the headlights. He had no clue why there's a leap year every 4 years. I learned that why there's a leap year back in third grade, I think, as far back as I can remember, why there was a leap year. And it was a big deal every time a leap year came around. I mean, you know, you're in school 12 years, you know, from kindergarten to high school, 12 years, you know, you're going to hit 3 leap years. And it was always a big deal. My son didn't know. I had to explain to him what leap year was and what it was for and what it represented. So, and that's just minuscule compared to, you know, what they're teaching in school. So, you know, just that little tidbit that I had to throw that in. Now he knows.
No, I agree with you. Just this week, I was at a school board meeting here on Long Island, arguing with a school district and in support of parents and a student who are currently fighting the school district while their child is being denied her right to an education here, because a school district doctor is attempting to override the decisions of multiple pediatricians that have seen and treated this young girl for all of her life. She's been under a medical exemption from vaccines since kindergarten for a medical issue that she is facing, and a new district doctor came in and took over and decided she was going to end that. And at this point, you know, we're starting to see just a level of control that school district, school board...
Shannon, hold it right there. We're coming on the next break. We'll come back. We'll let you finish. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Oh, here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton, Walter Yurkow, Mike Rakebrand, and our guest, Shannon Stevens. And it's just been a heck of an interview. Shannon, how can people reach out to you on social media and your website?
So my website is www.stevensforcongress.com. Stevens is spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. We have a Facebook page, Stevens for Congress, if you type that into Facebook. We're on Instagram. If you Instagram check Stevens for Congress, we also have an X account. That handle is Stevens for New York. X decides how long your username is allowed to be, so it's a little different.
Wow. Okay, check it out, folks. I mean, if she does this in Congress, what she's doing on this radio show, you know, the second district's in very, very good hands. Walt, do you have any more questions or comments for our guest?
No, I'm good. I appreciate her candor and coming on the show and you know, speaking what her not only her mind says, but what's in her heart also.
Outstanding. And you know what, and Shannon, to be honest, we're really not big fans of politicians, except very, very few. One being former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who did appear on this program when his son Andrew was guest hosting when he was running for governor. Anyways, I guess I'll take it from here. Shannon, one thing I left the Republican Party back in 2007 when John McCain said there need to be amnesty for illegal aliens, and look where we're at right now. But anyways, one thing about the Republicans, I am just so sick and tired of these Republicans that they say, oh, yeah, they're going to go fight the swamp and take care of business and help out the district back home, and they get to the halls of Congress, and it's like they've been made into organized crime family. And I've been saying on the show for years that it's two crews of the same crime family. And also, you probably know this already, is that to get on these different committees, like a Homeland Security Committee, the Judicial Committee, Ways and Means Committee, you have to kick money up to the party. And I remember years ago, John Boehner, when he was Speaker of the House, was at National Airport, about to fly out of town on a Thursday afternoon. He was going to Boston. I was asking his Capitol Police detail, it's like, where are you headed? Oh, we're going to Boston. Like, for what? Raising money. What do you say to your constituents that you're not going to be absorbed by the absolute culture of that is Washington, D.C.?
So that's a great question, and I think that's one that a lot of politicians and people running for office currently really need to answer for their constituents, because we've seen it time and again. I myself have been very hopeful at candidates who have said all the right things and sounded like they were going to go down to Washington and make this an entirely different situation for us, just to watch them go down there, sell their lies, peddle their garbage, and make backdoor deals against our interests again. And I think a lot of what comes into play is fear and money at the end of the day, unfortunately. This is one of the reasons that people love Donald Trump so much, is he cannot be bought. At the end of the day, you have to have a level of values that you stick to and morals that are above anything that they can touch you with. And that's a hard thing for a lot of politicians. The people that I've come across who are currently running for Congress, and there's a lot of them beside myself, who are not politicians, who never look to be in politics, but who are so disheartened with the way the country is at this point and really just want our country back, are not people looking to make money out of this. And they're not people looking to sit in Washington for years. I think the key to that is to pay attention to what your individual politicians are saying versus what people running for these offices are saying. Anyone that's talking about term limits, that should raise a green light, because we need term limits. I don't think a lot of current sitting officials would like this one, but I do think funding and salaries need to be cut. These are jobs like any other job. If you're not good at your job, you get tossed. You get paid for the work that you do. And currently, I think we're paying a lot of people to sit down in Washington, D.C. and not get a whole lot of work done or really anything at all. And sometimes it's more harmful than it is helpful, actually, for us. So I think a lot of this goes into money and fear. That's the other thing. When people get down there, they get bulldozed because it's a machine, right? I think a lot of what needs to be dealt with is, you know, we need to pay attention to what's actually going on down there, and the people running really need to be prepared for what they're going to get into when they get down there. And I think a lot of people have been unprepared for that. I think seeing Donald Trump fight this mess has opened the country's eyes more to what the fight is like down there. And you just have to really stick to your morals and your values over everything else. You know, in terms of believing what I'm saying, you know, everyone is only as good as their word, and you don't know, you know, whether the word is good unless you've seen the person in action. At the end of the day, everyone's going to have the same or similar descriptions on what the issues are, right? What the types of things that we are facing as a country and need to be changed are. It comes down to the actions of the individual. I don't think politicians should be proud of the fact that they're making millions in these seats. I don't think they should be proud of the fact that they're spending millions of taxpayer dollars to keep these seats and fight over them. That's not what this is about. These are not seats that should be bought into. They are public service seats, and we should be looking to put people in for a short amount of time so they can get the work done that needs to get done and get out and move along with their life. That's what these seats were created for. That's the kind of government we did have, we should have. And at the end of the day, just pay attention to not what your politicians and officials running are saying, but what they're doing. You know, there's a big difference between what's being said and what's being done. Everyone's saying the right things. Not everyone's out there. Not everyone's knocking on doors. Not everyone's taking the time to really talk to constituents. And it becomes clear, you know, if people are campaigning and the way they're campaigning is photo ops in a lot of different opportunistic places, pay attention to that versus the candidate that's out every day in their district, in the local community, supporting local community things. That things like that speak volumes to me in terms of what a candidate is going to do and how they're going to behave once they get down to D.C. And strength and resolve. You know, pay attention to the history of the candidate. Have they stood up against the machine or what have you before? And how did they handle pressure? Because there is a lot of it down in Washington, D.C. And I think a lot of people cave to it because they're not prepared for it. So those are the kinds of questions that I think we need to be asking of people running and that we should be paying attention to.
Right. A perfect example is Madison Cawthorn. He came out on a podcast and just said that he was offered to go to these parties involving different sexual exploits and narcotics. Didn't name a name, didn't name any party, but he was primaried out of his seat. Also, Representative Dan Crenshaw, who's in the 2nd District of Texas, not New York, he's been a major disappointment. He was an active duty sailor in the U.S. Navy with a SEAL team. He lost an eye in combat, and he's like one of these politicians like puts America last. One final question. What no politician seems to want to talk about besides Social Security is the Federal Reserve System. Are you in favor of auditing or the Federal Reserve so we get control of our monetary policy?
So the Federal Reserve is part of a large, big disaster. And I don't think people know the history of a national federal bank. So if they don't, they should definitely pay attention to the Alexander Hamilton Jefferson fight over the national banking system, because that's where all of this started. I don't think we should have a federal bank the way it exists today. I think it needs to be overhauled. I do think the federal tax code needs to go. I know most of our politicians have not read it. I have. It's a disaster. It needs to be overhauled. A lot of our financial issues as a government, as a country, come from these egregious bills and things that we've just sort of cabined, closed off, don't want to read, don't know how to read, and we've just created monsters out of things like the Federal Reserve and our federal tax code. And they've become things that our politicians can no longer handle because we're not electing qualified officials who know how to deal with things like that. And they're not reading them. They don't know what's in them. And they're just kind of adding to the mess instead of stripping down the mess and starting anew. So we need to overhaul a lot about our financial system. The Federal Reserve is just one aspect of that.
Wow. Mike, we got a couple seconds left. Do you have any final questions for our guest?
No, I just wanted to say thank you guys for having her on. And Shannon, thank you so much for coming on. It was really, really amazing to hear you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Shannon, we got about a couple seconds left before the closing music comes in. Do you have anything else you want to say to our listeners, especially those our special listeners in Long Island, Diane and Brenda?
Just pay attention to what's going on in the local elections. I think there's a lot of really good people fighting to get this country back. I think a lot of people are nervous that we're at a tipping point where we won't see the America that we once had come back. And I think, you know, there is a bleak picture to be painted, but there's also a very hopeful one. If you get behind the right candidates and you start helping, you know, the America First people get back in office so we can get done the things that need to get done. And I would just encourage people to get out and get active. You know, we can't get a country back by sitting on our couches and watching television and getting upset with what's going on if we're not willing to do something. And thank you. Thank you for allowing me to run, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Shannon. We're going to have you back on again as we get closer to primary season. Anyways, for Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrandt, this is Peter Scoop Stanton reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it, and do not comply.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.